When it's sunny in Gauteng, it's very cold down in the Cape, and which was the reason I bundled up and went to the Flow launch that was the Jesus Collective. And just like last time, there was this guy with his honey voice, Masikoli Nkagai. We call him Max. I can only say that name once. Hi, Max. How are you doing?
Well, Janine, I'm very well. Thank you, man. So lovely to be here with you once again.
Listen, here, we've got to introduce you. Because I've got to find out, all I know so far is, wow, he's got this honey voice. You know, I want to pour that voice of yours over syrup and waffles because it's that lovely, But let's introduce you as the normal person, the guy at home that has got light shining on you, the guy that gets up first thing in the morning. Who are you, Max?
Yeah, cool. So, yeah, as already mentioned, I am Masikole Max Nkagai. I'm a simple guy raining all the way from Cape Town. I am a morning person, like you really discussed. I'm from Cape Town, but because of work, I'm now based in Joburg. So contrary to Joburg, it's actually quite sunny this morning. We've been in summer for the past 2 weeks, as cold as Cape Town is, from what I understand from people. That week was literally the coldest week I've experienced this year.
I tell you, you pay the price, like die to self to do a recording.
I kid you not. It was the coldest week that I had to survive this year.
What job you have? If you came up to Joburg, what do you actually do?
So one of the misconceptions about me is actually that I'm full-time in music. and music is actually not the only thing I do. I do have a 9-to-5 as well. So I'm an environmental health practitioner. So I studied also in Cape Town before I moved to Joburg. So I moved to Joburg to start my job in 2019.
Hold on. Us normal people, I've got no idea what you mean when you say I'm an environmental health practitioner. What is that? Yeah. What do you do?
So basically what my job entails, in layman's terms, I'm a risk analyzer. So I study different jobs and the impact that they have, not only on the environment, but also the impact that they may potentially have on humans. So in layman's terms, I'm a risk analyzer. So from literally every job, I'm a risk assessor. I study jobs and put control measures in place to ensure that we protect, like I've already mentioned, the people and also the environment in which they work in.
So that would be like if someone wants to do a new mine or something like that, they have to get people like you in before they're allowed to do it.
Correct. So I fit in everywhere. Because in terms of risks, we categorize our risks into 4, some 5. So it can be anything from a physical risk to a chemical risk, to a psychosocial risk, which would be stress and fatigue. And also then we also have what you call ergonomical risks. So that is a study of people against any mechanism or objects. So even in the radio perspective, I may have to study ergonomics as well in terms of how you react with the equipment that you guys are working. Also ensuring correct posture and all of those things. So I literally fit in everywhere. Where
it
people
sounds
are
so
employed,
interesting.
I have to be in there.
I mean, it'll never get boring. It's never predictable. You've got a variety of things that you have to study.
Correct.
How did you get into that in the first place?
Correct. So growing up in high school, I loved science. And I also loved geography and also life sciences, which was known back then as biology. So I thought to myself, what can I do to merge the two as for the rest of my life? So I saw this interesting course called Environmental Health, and I did my research about it, and I just saw that it does really incorporate two of my favorite worlds, being geographical science and also life sciences. So then I decided to give it a try, and here I am, I don't know, almost 10 years into the industry, and I'm still going strong.
You still love your job, huh?
I do. I do love my job. I'm obsessed with people. I love people, and also process improvement. And so this is the most perfect field for me to be in.
And does it give you the flexibility then to, I mean, the Jesus Collective or anything in music is a very, you've got to be flexible enough to be able to go places on specific times and it's out of your control. How does that work?
Correct. So that's a very, thank you for asking that question. So from my end, this is literally something I always pray about. Because yes, I know that I'm into ministry, but also I do have a 9-to-5. So the only way literally that I'm able to sustain having to be equally present in both is through prayer. So every time I literally pray to God, I've always prayed to God that Father, I pray that my career and also my ministry may grow hand in hand, because I do believe that these are two parts of my life that you have called me into to function in. And the only way that I can function fully and effectively is if you are at the center of both. Yeah. So yeah, I pray about my job. I dedicate my job. And like I'm saying, I've been working for over 10 years, but it has not even once conflicted with ministry. So he truly is a prayer answering God.
Max, I am curious though, because it was about 2-3 weeks ago, I attended an event, but it was a completely secular event. And I was amazed at how light and darkness conflict in these places, the agendas, the unwritten stuff. So I am curious, with you being someone who really and truly loves Jesus, the corporate world, is it hard to shine your light? Are you allowed to speak about him? How restricted are you?
Sure. That's a very beautiful question, actually. But yeah, so I love that you actually put it out in that way, that light and darkness are in constant battle. And what I believe as a staunch Christian that I am, is that we have been sent to be the light. And that light that we portray is Jesus himself. And my belief is that Jesus being all these things good, Jesus being light, Jesus being peace, Jesus being everything that you need him to be, which means that then anything that is contrary to him and contrary to what he stands for cannot coexist with him. So by the mere fact that I am represented of Christ being the light, darkness cannot coexist in the room. It has to give way to God, you know, because everything is subject to him. So everything that I overcome through prayer, like literally every part of my life I pray about. I don't have the strength to sustain myself. I don't have the strength to stand in the rooms that I stand in. But also my confidence comes from God and in understanding and knowing that he has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So from the way I speak to the way I conduct myself to the way I engage with people, that is just me being merely a vessel of what God has to do. So before I enter into any meeting, before I enter into any audit, I dedicate that to God, you know, for him to represent himself through me, you know. Because there are boardrooms where I step into and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to say in here, you know, but I do trust God to be the one, you know, because I believe that every room, this is one thing that God has taught me through this year. I'm not going to lie. If there's anything this year has taught me, that every room that I step into, it's a room that God has ordained me to be in. And the only way that I can sustain and fully function into that room is if I give way to him to use me in that room. And the only way is if I just step aside and allow him to be, you know. So I just dedicate everything to him and hand over to him to use me in whatever way he sees fit. So I don't do the talking. I don't do the fighting. But it's just God manifesting himself through me.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. But then it makes you appreciate when you can get on a stage with the Jesus Collective, because obviously most of your audiences would be people who love Jesus and would appreciate the music and really enjoy it, which to you is something that brings you great joy. That whole thing about a corporate anointing, everybody worshiping together, it must make it extra special when you know this is the kind of place where the name of Jesus is so welcome.
Yeah, and everybody who's actively in that room is actively there, you know, to just raise a banner to God, you know. So it makes it easier then to navigate in that room, because we are all gathered in one accord and gathered because of just this one name, you know. And in the corporate setting, it may be difficult, you know, because people have different agendas. But like I'm saying, my belief is that everything is subject to God, you know, and if he steps in, everything else that speaks or is contrary to what he stands for just has to give way. There's no debate about that. So that's where my confidence comes in understanding that he's above everything.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Tell you, we've got amazing audiences. I was speaking to Michael Bethany, and I was asking him about the different audiences, because obviously he's got now this global ministry and he knows the different audiences from the different places. And he said there's no audience in the whole world like a South African audience. But I understand it now that this is the second Jesus Collective CD launch that you've been part of?
Correct.
And can you compare the two? Because obviously both of them were big, with a lot of people on the stage and an amazing audience in that. Was it much the same for you, or did you experience some growth or some change with the two launches?
This one, I'm not going to lie, Janine, this one was a lot. This one was more difficult for me. Because if you understand, with the first launch, I'm still part of the team, yes, but at that time I was more in the back, pushing and serving with other people, you know. But with this launch, it was different in a way that now God created space now for me not to only represent him through the Jesus Collective brand, but also to represent him now through Max the brand, you know. So now it put a lot of pressure on me as an individual, but also as a minister now, to understand that yes, I'm still in ministry, but now God has literally leveled me up and called me into a higher calling. Mm. Of which now, like I've already mentioned, I'm not only presenting the Jesus Collective, but also Max, you know, so that now requires me to even go in deeper, you know, into salvation, to go into deeper, into communion with him. I remember speaking to some of my friends and also people from the team, that it literally took me the entire week after the launch to recover from that.
Really?
I kid you not. I avoided people. I avoided my phone for a week flat. I was not in communication with anyone, you know, because I think with me, it only dawned after that night, the magnitude of the calling that I have now accepted now to represent God just as Max. You know, so with a lot of that, it just put a lot of questions, you know. I'm not going to lie, it did trigger fear in me as well, you know. Because like I mentioned, I'm carrying God's heart. Now God is trusting me to carry his heart through Max as a minister to his people. And that requires a lot from me. It requires me to literally be with him even now on a higher calling, you know. So it took me a week to recover. It's only, I think, only the week after the launch when I started now gradually going back to the people, gradually now responding to people. I was just so overwhelmed. It was overwhelming. I'm not gonna lie.
It's so cool. But I must say, they did it so beautifully. This announcing that you are now officially part of the Jesus Collective as one of those members that on the solo side of the stage and everything like that. And how proud your family was of you. That was heart-rending. Did you see that video beforehand, or was that the first time you'd seen it?
I didn't, because remember when I walked off stage really now to go change back to be with the team again on stage. So as I was walking out, one of the people from the digital team was like, go back on stage, something is playing for you. You know, and then I went back on stage, and to my surprise, people recorded that with my family. And I literally said this to the team, whoever is responsible for that had me ugly crying for over 10 minutes.
Starting really on bad. Stage, by the way.
It took me by surprise. I cried up until I got to the changing room. It was so bad that even when I was changing into my second outfit, I was still crying. You know, just to hear, man, how my family spoke about how they are excited, also proud of the growth, and that God has elevated me into that. That did something to my heart, man.
Yeah.
That really did something to my heart.
Because Max, it must make a difference to know that the people whose opinion you care about truly believe Correct. In you and believe that Correct. God has called you. And it's not Correct. Only talent, it's anointing and mandate as yeah. well, nah? That they yeah. truly believe it must make a difference if a young man has got the support and yeah. people like that who stand behind you.
Yeah, and also because, like, remember, with ministry requires a lot of sacrifice. And that sacrifice also comes from a family perspective, you know. There are certain events that I could not possibly attend. There are certain gatherings that I could not be with my family because now I had to go into ministry, you know. So now for them now to fully experience and to understand now that which God has called me into, and also to understand that the sacrifices that I've made, what were they for, you know. And to see how God now has used that, you know, for them to experience it as well. I think that also was the biggest hug for me as well, you know, for them to understand and experience that as well.
Yeah. And then you started yeah. singing. Can I just say, you're really good at ballads. And I'm a ballad girl. I love ballads. Yeah. I love that slow and the building and the intimacy of it. And that is that something that you've sure. always loved doing? It seems that you're just so suited to being emotionally invested in a song.
Sure. You know, because the two songs that I did on that night, if you see, they're literally on the opposite side of the song that I did in the previous album, which is titled Sivuselele, you know.
Yeah.
And when I got those songs, I was like, yo, God, I'm really grateful. You know, that now I get to also showcase the other side, and because the not so nice thing is that sometimes as musicians, because we introduce ourselves with a certain sound, and that then becomes our identity in terms of how people receive us. You know, and I've always had a heart of worship. Above everything, I have a heart of worship. And with that comes a lot of intimacy, you know. And for me now to release and let people in into that side, you know, of my relationship with God. It's the most beautiful, and it's something that I'm grateful for, because if above everything, worship, man, has my heart, you know, intimacy with God has my heart, and to display that and portray that in song just gives me so much comfort, you know, it just gives me so
doable.
Much comfort.
I mean, the audience got this song, they were singing along yeah. to it, like immediately, it connected with them.
Yeah, it was just so beautiful to experience as well. And as much as when I'm in that moment, I'm not necessarily there, because, contrary to belief, I'm actually very introverted. I love people, yes,
what?
But I'm a very shy person as well.
You fake it well, eh?
Yeah, I'm a very shy person. But also, like I'm saying, when I get to tap into the ministry, I get to understand now that it's just beyond me, and it's not my responsibility, but just to just be a vessel. And to see people receive that is just something else. It's only now after that, when I step out and run back to my cocoon, and then when I get to see those videos and how people were engaging,
yeah.
you know, it's just something else as well. But yeah, I'm very introverted. I love people, but at the same time, I fear them at the same time.
I won't hurt you. I like you. I'm on your side.
I appreciate
Listen,
that.
Listen, yeah, the you. Album's name's called Flow, the Jesus Collector.
Yeah,
tell
correct.
Me why it's that.
So Flow, I always say this, it has a double entendre to it. Flow, which is in short for fearless lovers of worship. And Flow is a concept that we as the Jesus Collective birthed during COVID. Remember, in COVID, everybody was restricted. We couldn't do anything. But towards that, because it brought so much discouragement to the people. So we thought to ourselves, let's just gather together as a team, not invite anybody else, but just invite the presence of God in the room, and also just stream that, because our first Flow was streamed live on YouTube for people to experience as well, just to bring hope and understand that, and as much as we are in what is a pandemic, but also just God is just in the midst of everything, man, that we do. You know, we are fearless lovers of worship, yes, but the second part of Flow is just that we literally got into a room where we had no program, and we just depended on the Spirit to just flow and to bring about the message and also what the encouragement that people need and needed in that moment. So we just realized that then, this is at the heart of the Jesus Collective. Worship is at the heart of the Jesus Collective. It's at the center of the collective. So we decided then, let's just make flow a thing, where we just gather in a room and just depend solely on the Holy Spirit to just endow us and baptize us so that you can just flow in the Spirit. Wow. So that people can receive whatever that is they're trusting God for.
That's beautiful. Okay, so now you've got to choose between your babies, because this is how it works.
You've got to
choose your favorite song, because we now have to play that favorite song of yours on this album. Which one would you choose?
Janine, this album is amazing, man. Literally every song on this album is literally my favorite. And what touches me about this album is that literally the team, everybody just stepped up and leveled up, and everybody was just hands on deck. So it will be difficult for me to choose.
Of the songs that you sang, which was your favorite?
It definitely has to be Keep Making Ways. Keep Making Ways would definitely be my go-to song, because what I love about this song, like I mentioned at the launch, is that when I sing songs, I sing songs as a seed into the ground. And sometimes we go through a lot as people, and sometimes we just get blinded and consumed by the things that we're going through, right? And this song, Keep Making Ways, is just for me a declaration, but also, yes, it's just an affirmative song, man, that God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever, ever, ever ask or think of Him. So whenever I feel that I'm just stuck, and I don't see a way out, but I do trust that God is my way out and that He will keep making ways for me, and He will do anything. Nothing is off limits with Him. So, yes. Let's go with Keep Making Ways.
All right. And then if people want to connect with your ministry, I mean, now you're so official and everything like that, and they have to know when a new song is available and what you have to say. How do they follow you?
So I'm on social media, TikTok, Facebook, and on Instagram as well, as Max Nkagayi throughout all my social media platforms.
Spelled Nkagayi.
Okay, so it's Max, M-A-X, Nkagayi would be M-Q-H-A-K-A-Y-I, across all my social media platforms.
All right, well, let's listen to it. Keep Making Ways, Max.
Sure.
And I've bragged about him, but the proof is in the pudding, so have a listen to it.
Yes, ma'am.